This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Thanks, Joe. I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe. What did you think of this Monday Night Football game yesterday, huh?
Largely gross. Giants suck.
They're really bad at football.
They're very bad. How does their GM still have a job?
It's temporary, I think.
Think so?
I think so. Did you see that they benched Abdul Carter again?
Yeah,
being
for a
late,
quarter.
Which, you know, get it together, Abdul Carter. But then Shane had a press conference today that he was late for.
Like 20 minutes late.
And I understand that, like, you versus your team being late is a little different than, like, you and the media. But yeah, it's like you're disciplining your rookie for being late, and then, oh, I'm going to show up late. It's fine. It's just the media.
Well, I mean, that's what he was dealing with, because this Abdul Carter thing, he got his first sack of the season, first full sack of the season last night. Second time he's been benched for a portion of a game already as a rookie in the NFL, but I think both by Mike Kafka, the interim coach. It's not going great there for him so far.
Yeah. No, it's not. Do you think Drake May should be in the MVP conversation?
I do. I think it should still be Matt Stafford's award this year, but Drake May finishing second, I think, makes plenty of sense right now. He's the quarterback on the best team in the AFC right now. He's played great this year. Now, he doesn't have a single game this year above 300 yards passing.
So what?
I find fascinating.
Why does he need that?
Just in today's NFL, like, that he's not.
It's a very shallow way of looking at a quarterback.
I don't think so.
Yeah, give me a guy who's efficient, who doesn't make mistakes, who is leading scoring drives.
No, I just
don't need 300 yards. A lot of times, yards for a quarterback can be misleading and bad.
But I think for the MVP conversation, like, it's one of the things that knocks against him.
Probably, yeah.
But like, I think it's Stafford's award even after the bad weekend against the Panthers. But Drake May deserves to be in the conversation.
I think he's pretty dang good, man.
I agree.
He'd have my vote right now.
He's pretty dang good. No one would give you a vote, Brian.
Of course not, but of course Stafford has more touchdowns, as you mentioned, but Drake May, better completion percentage, better quarterback rating. Like, there's at least a few numbers. I don't think it's as open and shut as people might believe.
And your boy has New England Patriots winning the AFC East ticket.
You do.
Let's go, Patriots.
And you have a Texans ticket?
I do.
I also have a Texans ticket.
Which is looking a little better today.
Yeah, I got Texans at plus 750.
And I have a Seattle ticket, so thank you, Carolina.
You're feeling good?
And Brosmer, or whatever that bro's name is.
That guy sucks.
He's so bad at football.
He's the worst.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Keith from L.A. pumped the brakes a little bit. The Patriots are playing a last-place schedule. Fair enough. We've buried the lead here, though. The true lead story from this New England Patriots game is one Marcus Jones, who changed that game yesterday with his 94-yard punt return. What's ironic about this, maybe ironic's not the right word, maybe symbolic, maybe heroic, maybe what's great, maybe some of those superlatives, is that Marcus Jones now has enough punt returns to qualify for the all-time leaders in NFL history.
Okay.
And do you know who number one is? It's Marcus Jones. Marcus Jones now has the greatest punt return average in the history of the game.
Wow.
The history. So Marcus Jones, the greatest punt returner that has ever existed in the NFL.
How does he already have enough to qualify?
Because he's been doing it a while, Joe.
For like, what, 4 years?
I think it's his fourth or fifth year in the league.
Yeah.
Great player.
He's a good player, yeah.
So, Brian, you remember Brian Barrett?
Yeah.
He used to work at the network. Now he does, I don't know what he does. Yeah, I think he does something with Bill Simmons,
Yeah, he's
actually
with the Ringer. Yeah.
I don't know what he does on the Ringer, but he pays attention
he has
to
their Boston podcast.
You know everything about him.
He's
you
a
don't hang
friend.
Out a lot or
he's
what?
He's a good friend of mine.
You exchange Christmas cards?
We text.
You and Brian? But Brian, whenever they drafted Marcus Jones, he slid into my DMs and he asked me, like, hey, what should you expect from Marcus Jones? I went back and read it yesterday. You want my scouting report on April 30th of 2022?
Let's hear it.
So let's see, 22, 23, 24. This is his fourth year in the NFL. I said, hey, Brian, Jones is a really good football player. He's best at returning punts. I think he has a chance to be a Devin Hester light. Which, at the time of writing that, like, what?
It's pretty good.
I think he was a fourth round. I should be NFL.com draft profiles.
Yeah, premium scout.
Yeah. I should be NFL.com draft profiles.
Will Levis.
I wasn't wrong about Levis.
You can't be 100%.
I wasn't wrong about Levis.
You were wrong about Will Levis.
I wasn't wrong about Levis. I was right about Levis.
Right.
I said he has tons of potential, has a long way to go to meet that potential. I said he's got tools. I said he's skillsy. He's very, very
I believe you at one point that he was
future.
The best quarterback in the draft.
I said he has the best tools of any quarterback in the draft. Get it right. I'm not sure that's wrong.
I mean,
he has the biggest arm of the draft.
He has one tool.
But he's also the most mobile of any of those guys, too.
Richardson's in that draft.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, but he's a bum.
Track.
He's not a quarterback. But anyways,
I just see the goalpost.
NFL.com, NFL.com draft profile. If Lance, if you're ever sick, I could write this. But hey, Brian Jones is a really good football player. He's best at returning punts. I think he has a chance to be a Devin Hester light. Not fair to think he will be as elite as a returner as Hester, but he should be top 5 to top 10 in the league. Boom, right. He should be better defensively than Hester, though. Super quick and shifty. And then kind of blah 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 blah.
Boom! There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
You're right.
I just want to point out that I know what, I got it wrong. Actually, I shouldn't have said that he's Devin Hester light. I should have said he's going to be better than Devin Hester. He is. Stats back it up, Joe.
You got to get in the Hall of Fame first.
I mean, Marcus Jones, as of this moment, has the greatest punt return average in the history of the game. Me saying he was going to be Devin Hester light was selling him short, and I shouldn't have done that. That was disrespectful by me.
That's fair.
Disrespectful
by me. Branham.
Disrespectful Branham. 713-780-ESPN. How about Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson sharing carries again?
I don't understand, but it's working for them.
Yeah.
So, okay.
The fantasy community hates it.
Like, Travion was like over 6 per carry last night. Ramondre was at his usual, 3.8 or whatever it was. But, man. It's like all those runs where Ramondre gets 5 yards, you could see the lane where Travion would have turned it into 15.
They must just not trust the rookie. I don't know. Not sure what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I mean, but Ramondre fumbles all the time.
And Travion had, 5 touchdowns in 2 games where Ramondre was hurt?
Yeah.
It's like none of it mattered to Vrabel.
Somebody says Drake Maye's played no one. I think Herbert has played better than Ben. More important to his team. I guess he meant to say Maye. I don't know why Ben got in there. Someone said Ryan Weiss just signed with the Astros.
He did.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going to mention
I do that. Not know this man.
Astros were clamoring for Dylan Cease, and they got Ryan Weiss, who was pitching in the KBO last year.
Big time move.
I hope you like your gringos from Korea, because that's what the Astros got.
And the ERA looks good.
Yeah, that's like the first time he's had a decent ERA in his life.
Is he like Eric Fetty from a couple years ago? Is that what
that would be a win?
Yeah, it would be.
It'd be a major win. Who knows what it'll be? But like Dana, uncovers the earth finding pitchers.
Yeah. Smashing starts the offseason.
It is a major league deal as well.
Really?
Yep. So it's not a minor league deal. So he's going to be on the roster.
I mean, if he wins a job.
That's true. I guess
but he's taking a spot on the 40 currently.
Yep.
And he will. I mean, they're not going to cut him before spring training. So, yeah, that's interesting. How is Dak not in the MVP conversation, the number show? He's in my MVP conversation. He's in there. He's in the mix. Absolutely, Dak's in the mix.
Yeah, Dak's in it.
I see him as
the third highest odds on the
Drake Mandel. May's number one?
Yeah, it's Drake Maye, Stafford 2, and that's really close.
That's all it is.
Big drop off to Dak at third, and then Jordan Love, Josh Allen, Caleb Williams comes in sixth.
How about the Giants kicker last night? I've been watching that football for 40 years and never seen anything like that in my life.
Awesome.
You can't turn a young ho coup into a young housewife coup.
Oh, thank you, Lane. Thank you,
see
Lane.
Ya. You're out.
I listed that as my junkie day. I've never seen a kicker kick the grass.
You know who his college football coach was, don't you?
No.
Willie Fritz.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
He's probably really disappointed in today.
He probably didn't know he did it. No,
I've never seen anything like that.
He had some good years in Atlanta, and they got cut this year. I think this is his third team this season. Yeah, he coached him at Georgia Southern. Young Hoku.
But I can't. Did he step?
That's not how you say his name, but
it feels like he stepped too far with his left foot.
I mean, I don't know why people are blaming him. Like, go hit a 56 degree and see how many times you do that in 10 shots. Probably 3 or 4.
Yeah, but I'm not getting paid to do it.
I don't know how he hit that so fat. Like, that was insane.
He must have
mistimed his steps.
He hit his foot off the ground first, right?
Yeah, he hit behind the ball.
Yeah.
Like, by a yard. Probably not a yard. Probably like a foot.
Yeah.
But that's a bad miss.
Yeah, I think he just mistimed it completely.
Like, I've seen kickers hit it fat before, but never that fat.
No, never.
Yeah, that was rough. People were like, check his FanDuel account. Check his Underdog. Like, you know, it's hard. You start to do that whenever
it's people, hard not to.
People aren't good at football. They're like, hey, that guy's fixing the game. You almost had a fight, too. Theo Johnson trying to protect his quarterback because that Patriots guy legally hit Dart and then started a whole little deal. Started a whole fight. You want to hear it? Here's how it sounded. I promise you it sounded like this.
Dart's going to go and gets popped on the sideline, and we're going to get a fight. Christian Ellis delivered the hit, and these two teams are going at each other.
Tell you what, Joe, I know they're going at it, but it looked to me like it was a legal hit.
I agree.
It's just Dart trying to get a little bit extra, and you know he has to protect himself, and he's a target.
There you go.
It's a perfectly clean hit.
Yeah.
Got no problem with the fight afterwards as well?
No, Theo Johnson was a little punk.
No,
there.
You protect your quarterback.
That was a soft move from Theo.
Protect your quarterback from what? Him being an idiot?
In the moment, it looks like it's, from his perspective, it probably looks like he's out of bounds.
Theo Johnson showed no situational awareness. The dude is clearly in bounds. And he plays like a maniac.
Yeah, well, he plays like an idiot.
Yeah.
He's not going to last.
And he's not going to change. He said so after the game.
Yeah, he goes, this isn't soccer, it's football. Which he's an idiot because there's more concussions in soccer than there is football. He doesn't know ball.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart. You should know all about this, you and Glenn Davis, hosting a soccer show on Friday.
Put that in my notes.
Did you know that, though?
No,
there's
I
more
did not
concussions
know that.
In soccer because of all the headers and stuff. They go up for the headers and they bang heads. They clobber skulls.
That makes sense.
It's fact. It's not an opinion.
But it's a totally legal hit. I got no problem with the fight, though.
Yeah, it's for your quarterback. I'm okay. I don't hate that take by you. I like fights.
You stand up for your quarterback. Like, he gets hit hard. We see fights happen for totally legal hits in the backfield, too. You stand up for your guy.
You think Laramie Tunsil would have fought him?
Hell no.
Laramie Tunsil would have been, like, gas masking on the sideline.
Yeah, like, that's why. Like you stand up for your dude no matter what.
A kicker's texting the show. The ball moved before Young-ho, before the kick, so he held the kick. It was a bad hold. There you go.
Blaming the holder.
He didn't hit it fat. He didn't even hit it. No, you're correct. The first time it was closer to the yard than it was a foot. He was a full stride out, and he barely started moving his foot forward when he stubbed his toe. Coe said he pulled up on the kick because he saw the bottom of the ball start to slip. Don't necessarily believe him, but it does move as he's coming back to kick. You know what? I'm going to take his word for it. I'm going to take Young Ho's word for it.
I think he's making excuses.
I've never seen something so bad. I'm taking his word for it. I really am. Like, have you ever seen a kicker do that?
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I'm taking his word for it. I'm taking Young Ho's word for it.
You just want to keep saying his name.
No. I could say I'm not taking Young Ho's word for it just as easily as I could say I'm taking Young Ho's word for it.
I'm not taking his word for it.
I'm taking his word for it.
I don't believe him.
You don't know ball.
I know ball.
And he was well coached. He wouldn't do that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's sneak in to Alex. Alex wants to talk about something that we're not going to talk about, so let's get in Alex here. Alex, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just two quick questions. With college football and all the chaos going on with all these head coaches, you know, getting poached and whatnot, the Lane Kiffin fiasco, is this just an anomaly or do you think this is kind of the future? And if so, what's stopping, you know, say if Willie Fritz was, I don't know, 20 years younger, what's stopping someone from poaching him in U of H and teams like that, losing out on coaching talent constantly, having to worry? And the other thing I wanted to ask is, if you're Elon Musk or any other rich billionaire, with NIL, do you guys think you could technically take, I don't know, Texas State, pump so much money into their NIL program and make them a national title contender? Or is that kind of overblown with NIL? Just wanted to get your thoughts.
Let's hit that on the other side. Good questions. We'll discuss that on the other side. Although, I don't know to be insulted for myself or be insulted for Fritz. Like, I don't know who to be insulted by. Yeah, backhanded compliments left and right. First one to me, second one to to Willie. But we'll discuss that on the other side. Also, don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. All the bad stuff the Texans did, even though they won the football game. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Affordability is the biggest problem right now in today's car market. New cars are averaging nearly $48,000. Most people's wages, they're just not keeping up with that. And that's why some of us are getting stuck with these seven-year loans just to make the payments work. At D&M Leasing, they solve that problem with the Easy Lease, offering lower monthly payments, no money down, in terms that make sense. Don't overpay. Solve the payment problem. All you have to do is go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 for no payments until 2026. You'll work with one of their leasing agents. They'll walk you through the entire process. You'll DocuSign all of your paperwork so you don't have to go into a dealership or anything like that. And when it's time to get your car, they'll bring it to you, whether it's to your house, to your office, to wherever you're eating lunch. They will bring that car right to you, take care of all of it for you today. Go to dmautoleasing.com right now or call 713-290-1000 and tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We are... without a coach.
I was like, I'm not saying.
I was waiting for y'all to say something.
I'm not Penn State.
Kalani Sitake.
He's not Penn State either.
Not Penn, Crumble kept him in BYU.
Penn State got outbid by Crumble Cookies.
Look, man.
Penn State screwed this whole deal up, bub.
They fired their coach before anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a coach.
I mean, doesn't it feel like there's zero chance they're going to walk away from this with a better coach than the one they fired?
Zero. 0% chance. I mean, you've got Michigan State firing their coach 2 hours later, hiring Pat Fitzgerald. You've got Kentucky firing their coach less than 24 hours later, like 12 hours later, hiring Will Stein, the OC from Oregon. Like, these other programs are moving quick. And it sounds like this deal was done on Saturday with Kalani and Penn State. And then the church stepped in and BYU stepped in and Crumble Cookies. And they stopped it from happening.
Which, good. I mean, he's got as good a chance to win a national title at BYU as he does Penn State.
Absolutely.
BYU spends money, man.
I think he's got a better chance at BYU, honestly.
Which goes to the question that we were asked, like NIL. Like, I think that a lot of the big money people, they're not going to flush $1 billion into a program. The closest we've seen is Cody Campbell, like Texas Tech, which, tip my cap to him. Not complaining. Like, if you have it, go do it. Why not? This is the current era of college athletics. Like, they spent, what, $25 million on their roster last year, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
How much of that was Cody Campbell? I don't know. 15, maybe? I have no idea.
It sounds like a lot, but...
maybe 20 of it, whatever. I don't see billionaires spending much more than that, though. Because at the end of the day, these billionaires make money because they're smart businessmen. And where are you getting the return on investment? This is more their hobby.
It's your pride,
hobby. You're not getting a return on investment. You're not spending $20 million on the roster and getting any return.
Do you think anyone who feel like from the Dave Portnoy group of getting Bryce Underwood from LSU to Michigan feels good about the $12 million they spent this year?
You're not getting any return on your
investment. You got nothing for it. The people who got Quinn Ewers, it was only $1 million back then, to Ohio State, and he never played it down there. Like, it's NIL can be, if you are an alum, it can be a cash cow for you. It can be a very prideful thing to see your school win. Like, Cody Campbell has to be thrilled with his investment because he cares that much about Texas Tech football.
Yeah.
But like, I'd also say, like, I mean, you mentioned Texas Tech spent $20-25 million. I think Ohio State spent a similar number the year before to produce last year's national championship team. That's adding to rosters that are already, you know, very good, or in the case of Ohio State, you know, damn near elite, to put them over the top. Like, to the caller's question, like, the amount that it would take to put a Texas State over the top would take way more than what, you know, it took for Ohio State or Texas Tech, because those rosters and those programs were already starting at such a higher spot than Texas State is.
Yeah. The so, like, what is stopping them? I think it's return on investment.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
That would be my answer. Like, I don't see somebody spending $100 million a year on a college football roster, at least not now. Maybe when inflation gets into play.
I mean, yeah, we'll see how this Big Ten thing shakes out with Saudi, with the investment group there. if they take that money, which it sounds like they're going to, if they can get everyone on board. There's a couple schools that are holding out.
I don't think that they're going to get everybody on board.
I don't think so either. But why do you have to?
So who are the holdouts right now? It's Michigan and
USC.
USC. Why would they sell their future?
I don't get it.
It makes sense. It makes sense for the non-big brand schools. It doesn't make sense for the big brand schools to sell their future, to mortgage what they're going to bring into the future.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for Rutgers. Mm-hmm. It makes sense for Northwestern. It makes no sense for the big brands.
But then, why is Ohio State in on this?
I don't know.
That's what I don't understand. It's complicated. But that's where you could see big time money being poured in. But then money's going to get poured in everywhere equally. So it's going to balance out, right? You have to be an alum of a school to go and really want to spend that kind of money at this point.
And at the end of the day, are you going to want to spend that year in, year out?
No.
If I was a billionaire, am I spending $20 million a year on NIL money?
Do you think people...
Maybe a million a year.
Yeah, I think now, while Arch has played much better as of late, how many companies want to be the butt of the joke when he has more completions or more commercials than completions in week one?
Mm-hmm.
Like are those same companies going to invest in, was it Kazon? Is that his name? I probably said it wrong. The recruit coming in for U of H?
Keyshawn.
I thought the way it's spelled, I didn't think it was Keyshawn.
Keyshawn's a pretty normal name at this point.
It wasn't spelled that way. Are they gonna do that? I don't think so. These teams, they're gonna bail. Maybe they'll spend money on the next team, but if it didn't go well for Texas Tech this year, would Campbell be putting that much money into it next year?
K-E-I-S-E-A-N.
That seems like Keyshawn.
Yeah. I don't know.
That definitely doesn't seem like Kayvon.
Kazon?
Kazon.
Where'd you get the Z from?
Zon, S-A-N, Zon.
Where'd you get an A at the beginning?
The E-I? Just a guess. I couldn't remember his name.
The Texans wave Lake and Tomlinson today.
See ya, buddy.
So I guess the Texans are going with this current everyone a hug over there thing, which is fine.
Yeah, just another stellar offseason move for Nick Casario.
They didn't pay him much, did they?
No, but everything they've brought in this offseason hasn't really contributed.
Trent
Brown has been good.
That's the thing, though. And Trent Brown is what made Lake and Tomlinson expendable. So
Ingram's been good.
Yeah. So he's the reason you're cutting him is because another acquisition was good.
Yeah, but the right side investment's been good. The left side's been not so good.
I would argue their offensive line was at a point where you just throw as many things against the wall and hope a few of them stick. And that's kind of what they did.
Yeah, now, injury kind of forced them to things.
They obviously flushed some money with Cam Robinson, but overall the offensive line's been way better than I'd hoped.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially the last couple weeks. The last couple weeks, it's I guess really the last 2 weeks. I'm a believer now.
I think that was kind of Casario's plan, though. Let's just bring in a bunch of these dudes and see if something we slap together will work. If you're bringing in an Ed Ingram and Trent Brown and Cam Robinson and Lakin Tomlinson, or you're drafting a guy in the second round,
Jake Andrews.
Yeah, I think you're just kind of let's see what happens, Yeah,
but it still doesn't feel like a great philosophy.
No.
To try that.
Well, they were between a rock and a hard spot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they had a choice.
No, because they've missed on a lot of other things.
For sure. All right, don't ignore in victory what you win in defeat. What are you not ignoring in victory what you win in defeat? 713-780-3776. Joe, will you do the pleasure?
Of what?
What not ignoring in victory what you win in defeat.
Oh, you want to do it right now?
Yeah.
Thought we were going to break. Penalties. Too many penalties. Specifically illegal formations. Too much at this point in the season. And it feels like it's mostly when they've brought in Blake Fisher. It's not his fault, but he seems to be the guy that keeps getting covered up when they're doing it. It didn't bite them in this game.
It happened once.
Yeah, it happened a couple
Fisher's
times.
Fisher's happened once. Second time Fisher wasn't on the field, I don't believe.
No, I think it was one of the tight ends were covering up.
There wasn't anybody covering up Ursary.
That's what
Ursary,
it was, yeah.
Ursary was lined up, obviously, and then you had three guys lined up behind him. You had tight end off the line, two receivers off the line.
But just at this point in the season, to you have to, and I know they've put an emphasis on this year, on the last 2 years, really, of the illegal formations. But the penalties in general for the Texans, it's too much this year. We've talked about this team being undisciplined for a lot of the year. The operational stuff, they have to get better at.
Yeah.
And it feels like the operation of the offense is still not clean as a big picture part of it. Whether that's the previous week when they've got, the clock running down in a critical situation, you're having to burn timeouts or take penalties. It's just the operation of the offense still isn't good enough.
No, it's not. It's frustrating that, one, it's happening operationally on the offense. What if you told D'Amico Ryans, like, hey, your team's heavily penalized, his answer would be like, well, that's because we play hard and we swarm and we're going to commit penalties sometimes because we play so hard. I can live with those.
I agree.
I can live with those. If you're telling me that the, you know, the collateral damage of you having the number one defense in the NFL by yards per game or points allowed per game is that you're going to have a few penalties because you're swarming so hard, I can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
I can live with that. Oh, we're going to have a couple of pass interferences. Azeez is going to go rogue on somebody's dome every now and then. I can live with it if you're going to have the number one defense in the NFL. But it's the organizational stuff. It's lining up properly stuff. And I'll bet you that if you go look at all the penalties for the Houston Texans this year, you get more of those than you do because we're playing very, very hard. We can all live with the you're playing hards. We don't love to see the, okay, there's 0 seconds on the play clock. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't line up on the line. The referees help you. You ever see receivers run up to the line? Hey, am I on the line? They point into the refs. Why are they pointing to the refs? Because they're asking the ref, am I on the line? Sometimes they'll tell them I'm off. They'll talk to you too. Yeah, you're on. No, you need to screw up a step. Okay. That is unexcusable. Mm-hmm. It's unexcusable for a professional football player. Inexcusable for a professional football player. It's inexcusable in week 13 of the NFL.
Yeah, especially because like we're seeing it happen. Like when they started going after the Chiefs left tackle, like was it when it was really big, was it Juwan Taylor, I think it was? And he was trying to get like that, trying to get some advantage against the pass rushers. That's one thing. This is just formations are not correct. Guys are just not in the right spot. Like I'd be more okay if this was just your left tackle was Ursary was just trying to get an advantage against the Colts to make his life a little bit easier. At least I could understand that a little bit more. It'd still be frustrating, but the operation of the offense, it's just still not clean enough at this point.
Yeah. I will say that it seemed like a bunch of them were like in a bunch. It seemed like it got cleaned up.
And then it slowed down, yeah.
But it has been a season-long thing. I had that one as high on my list, too. You got any more?
Yeah, the second half, third down conversion. Like, I feel like it was sort of two halves with third down. First half was very good. The second half wasn't great. And there was one drive where the Texans gave up a third and 11, a third and 9.
Oh, you mean defensively?
Defensively.
Gotcha.
There was a third and 9 that the Colts converted that was called back for holding. But then that third and 19, there was the defensive pass interference.
Bad call.
Which was a bad call. But on, you know, it really was 3 third down conversions on one drive. So the second half third down play by the defense wasn't great, but it was excellent in the first half.
Okay.
So it's kind of a 50-50 toss-up in that game for me.
All right.
That's it for me, really.
Red zone offense again.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the offense played well. I mean, you rack up 364 yards, you're moving the football. I always like to see how many times you're in scoring position based on the amount of drives you had. I thought the Texans' ratio there was good. But they're not. They're leaving meat on the bone. They're leaving points on the field. In one game, like, okay, whatever. Like, in one game, you win it, no big deal. You're going to be fine going forward. The problem is that it happens every single week. Like, you're leaving meat on the bone every single week. You happen once or twice or once every few weeks, whatever, no big deal. But when you're doing it every single week, it seems like it's a big problem.
Yeah, 2 for 5 in this game. I do feel like we've seen at least 3 times, now 2 of them were in this game, where they've had success in the red zone, either running the ball or running reverses, things to the outside. Like there's been 2 sweeps for touchdowns in the red zone. Then we had the reverse as well this weekend. So it seems like that does seem to work for them, but they don't try it that often.
Well, I think they've given up on the idea that they're going to get interior movement.
I hope they have.
With their offense, because they've been brutal at it. The Stroud interception was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. There's no sugarcoating that. That was bad. Like the best case scenario is like, oh, he's rusty. Okay, still bad. Bad pick by C.J. Stroud. We mentioned this yesterday. There was a third and long play where he backed up into a deeper sack, which didn't cost him. Kyme Fairbairn still made the field goal and whatever. I just hate when C.J. Stroud moves backwards.
But he's done it. He's done it farther back in the field this year where it has moved them out of field goal position. So even though it didn't hurt you this time, it's still a thing.
And it's been hurt, and he's been doing it less. I know he hasn't played the last 3 games because he's got a bruised brain, but he had been improving there, and he only did it once in this game.
To be fair to CJ, because I initially, like, seeing it live when the play initially happened, I had this exact same thought, like, step up, why are you running backwards? But when they show the replay, he could not step up. Now, you could have asked him to match Shop Turtle.
That's what I wanted.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair, but, like, he could not step up in the pocket because the pass rush was interior.
No, he had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But in my mind there, he's in jail. It's the play's over. There's play nothing
over,
good.
Yeah, right.
What is the like, pick your poison? What is the best worst option?
Turtle. Yeah.
Yes, to go down. It's not to cost your team 3 or 4 yards there, because he wasn't salvaging the play. Like go down. Don't be Superman. You know, so that was very nitpicky, but that's the whole point of don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't defeat. I guess we could talk about the whole final possession of the first half.
Yeah, we went
that was
pretty,
all mine. Yeah,
we just went too slow at the beginning. I don't think that they were rudderless without a plan, though. Some people thought, oh, they didn't have a JJ Watt. Thought they didn't have a plan. Their plan was clearly to score. They were just very slow acting on it, and then they got into a bad spot. And then Jaden Higgins, which leads me to my next one, not getting the first down, rookie mistake, 3rd and 10. He's got the catch. About 8 yards out of the 10 that he needs. There's room in front of you. Just know what you need. Jaden Higgins didn't know what he needed, put the Texans in an awkward spot, 4th and 2, kind of no man's land, clock winding down. You don't want to take the timeout with 12 seconds because if you do and you don't convert the 4th down, now the Colts have a heave to the end zone. You don't want to allow that to happen. So Higgins really put DeMeco in a bad spot, quite frankly. So that one.
The failure on the 2 back-to-back tush pushes. On the 3rd and 1,
see,
and the 4th
and
1.
I don't think...
I don't kill him for the first one.
I don't either.
I thought they made it.
Same. I don't kill him for the first one.
That's, so that's fair.
Yesterday, we crowned that play call is going to be called the Stover Dozer.
Stover Dozer.
It worked. It worked on 3rd and... It worked 2 times previously. In my mind, they converted... I know officially they didn't, but I think that it was a terrible spot in that it worked to convert the 1st down. So in my mind, and in D'Amico's mind, and in Kaylee's mind, it had worked 3 times in a row. I actually don't like it on 3rd down if you know you're going to do it on 4th down.
My don't forget in victory actually there, and I maybe you could argue they didn't have the angle, though I saw it on TV, so I think they did have the angle. Why didn't D'Amico challenge there?
So D'Amico said yesterday in his press conference, he gave a very weird answer about it. Sarge asked him about it, and Sarge tweeted at me and let me know that he asked him about it.
Hashtag Sarge.
But the way that D'Amico answered it, and we might have it in the log too, Brian, from yesterday. It was like the officials.
Oh, you guys played the audio?
It's like the, yeah, I think we did.
I'll try to find it.
He said the officials told him they already looked at it, is what he said. He said the officials told me they already looked at it. So in my, like, it's a very weird answer, but what I hear there, and I could be wrong, but what I hear there is that replay assist already told the officials this isn't going to be overturned. Yes. So at that point, D'Amico's like, hey, I want to challenge. They're like, hey, they've already told us it's not going to be overturned. So that's the way that I understood it from D'Amico.
Yeah, I mean, and they do, that's part of it. We don't hear any of that stuff. That's something I wish they would tell us, honestly. It would take 5 seconds to say replay assist says we don't need a challenge.
Replay assist is so weird, man, because like you don't know. It's like the eye in the sky, and you don't even know when they're going to be involved.
Yeah, maybe it would be too much because I don't know. I guess we don't know how actively they're involved in games, but it feels like in that moment there, it deserves an explanation of why there's no challenge and like why they're telling D'Amico you can't challenge this.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah, that'd be great insight because I think it's a fair criticism in the moment. Why didn't D'Amico challenge it? If they would have let us know, oh, they already replay assisted this, there can't be a coach challenge, we don't bash the coach in that moment. So the way D'Amico answered it made me think that the officials told him replay assist was taking a look. Junkie says, let's not ignore in win or loss, CJ can throw 0 touchdowns. I don't care if CJ Stroud never throws a touchdown again. Like, as long as the offense moves the ball and they're scoring bunches of points, I don't care if CJ Stroud's throwing touchdown passes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you put up, I mean, go score 7 touchdowns, I don't care how you do it. Score 5 touchdowns, I don't care how you do it. Nick Chubb, hey, 5 Stover Dozers. You move the ball all the way down to the 1-yard line, and you get Cade Stover to plunge it in from a yard deep 5 times. Great offensive day. C.J. Stroud, 0 interceptions, great offensive day. I couldn't care less how many touchdowns C.J. Stroud throws.
Yeah, you just have to have touchdowns.
Just touchdowns.
Doesn't matter how you get them.
I want touchdowns.
From the offense.
From the offense. I don't care how. I don't care who scores the touchdowns. Pick sixes, returns, Jalen Noel. I don't care how you're scoring touchdowns.
Reverses, whatever you want.
But in order to get credit offensively, go score touchdowns. I want touchdown drives. I don't care how you're scoring the touchdown. Couldn't care less. Do not ignore the fact that Jalen Noel is not involved in the offense. Yeah, he hasn't been. He's maybe moving backwards, actually.
I think he is moving backwards.
They must not trust him. They must not trust him. Like, coaches don't like playing first-year players win. Is it because they're so much talent, more talented than the other receiver? No, that's not why they're not playing them. They're not playing not playing Jalen Noel because they look at Noel and be like, whoa, you're way more talented than Christian Kirk, but we can't play it because we don't like talent. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they playing a young player? Because they don't trust them, whether it's routes, whether it's maybe like He's playing the adjuster in this offense too, which is kind of complicated because it requires you to read the defense and be in sync with your quarterback and which route you want to run. A lot of option routes. They clearly don't trust him. Very clear.
Yeah, I've got him at 18 snaps.
Yeah, they don't trust him.
On offense.
And whenever he's in the game, usually it's like a screen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't think they trust him in the option routes.
No, I think
I don't think they trust him in the blocking game either.
That's pretty clear. I mean, like, I initial thought on D'Amico, and it seems to tend this way more with defensive coaches, like, well, they just don't want to play rookies. But they played Ursary all season. They were very quick to shift to Woody Marks away from Nick Chubb.
Higgins
so
is playing
it's not a rookie thing necessarily. It's we don't trust this guy thing.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Higgins is out there for 44 snaps.
Second most.
58% of the snaps.
Which is pretty close to Nico.
Yeah, Nico is at 57.
Yeah. My guess, this is a total guess, and they would never give you an answer, and they've tried. They'd be like, hey, what does Noel have to do to play more? Like, well, we love Noel. You know, they're not going to play the game with
He's
you.
He's doing everything we ask him to do.
Yeah, you know how these – like, that's what – it always cracks me up when people take these press conferences like gospel. Like, well, he said it. I don't care what he said.
Yeah.
Half the time they're lying. Half the time they're misleading you anyways. It's – in my opinion, there are two things whenever – why isn't Jalen Noel playing more? One, I think he's struggling with the option routes. Two, I don't think they like him as a blocker compared to the other guys that they have.
Yeah.
So that's my two.
And I think blocking is ultimately what it probably comes down to.
Probably.
And the thing is, I don't know if that's going to change.
Not immediately.
He doesn't look like a blocker.
Well, he's not going to grow into a bigger guy, if that's what you're saying.
Kind of.
But, yeah. I mean, he's more stout than Tank was.
And they trusted Tank. Well, they trusted Tank too much.
Yeah.
In blocking.
Now, you just have to be creative on how you do it. Like, hey, okay, instead of blocking, maybe you just run a go route and take your defender who's marking you out of the play.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you have, Brian?
You guys mentioned most of them, but two more that I had. You guys remember that pass beyond the line of scrimmage that Stroud threw at one point in the game? It wasn't just, you know, sometimes when you see those situations, like, oh, well, the foot just was barely passed. Stroud was a good like 2 yards past the line of scrimmage, and he let that thing go. Maybe it's rust from being off for 3 games, but I could not believe Stroud let that thing go for how far past the line of scrimmage he was.
That was pretty amateurish.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. It was that the most was... amateur thing I saw all day.
Would you say it's low S2?
Yes.
Yes. It felt low S2.
Let it be on record that Joe said it was low S2.
It was very, very, very low S2.
Not my words, Joe George's words.
Those are my words.
But you also believe it, and you try to get Joe to say it for you.
Definitely.
But, like, what are we doing, man? Like, he is so far across the line.
It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. The other thing I had, there was a near interception he threw. I forget who the Texans receiver was. But it was the Colts defender was Pratt.
Didn't see him.
He didn't see him. And you can see, and Watt pointed out on the replay, like Stroud starts to run to try to make the tackle because he threw it flat and Pratt was right there, got a hand on it, but couldn't bring it in.
Call.
Should have been another pick.
Forgot about that play.
Probably maybe a pick six, honestly.
Yeah. No, I think it would have been. Like it was in the flat.
Unless Stroud makes a tackle,
he's gone.
Yeah.
Davis Mills was back there. I think Davis catches.
Well, he's a better athlete.
He's faster.
Stroud. Yeah, but I don't know about Stroud.
Yeah, he's faster.
I also don't want Stroud tackling people.
No.
Not allowed.
So, funny story.
Uh-oh.
Not a funny story. But it does involve the greatest college quarterback of all time. Case Keenum.
Dylan Gabriel?
Oh. Case Keenum had a concussion, all right? Case Keenum came back and played, I think it was against UCLA. Case Keenum threw a pass very similar to that play. Intercepted, trying to go back to get the tackle, towards ACL.
Oh, really?
That's what got him the extra year. So, like... in that moment, I'm seeing quarterback concussed, coming out of your concussion. I'm seeing what's looking like the potential of a pick six or at least a quarterback chasing down a defender who intercepted the pass. And in that brief moment, Brian, I'm thinking he's going to tear his ACL. I had a Case Keenum flashback.
Yeah, PTSD.
Yeah, I had forgotten that happened in that play, but I had the PTSD to Case Keenum tearing his ACL. That in that brief moment when that defensive back was here and the ball was yet to hit his brick hands, it's like he's about to chase him down and tear his ACL.
You don't want
to
see that. I remember when Cutler broke his thumb in a preseason game. I think it was. It was out for like most of the season.
Oof.
For trying to tackle on an interception. Like, what are you doing?
No good.
Not good. Don't like tackle.
Stuff. Quarterback, just get out of the way. Just go down. Turtle.
No blocking.
Turtle.
No blocking. No tackling.
All right. So the officiating in this game was bad, right?
Yes.
A lot of people thought it was bad, especially the people in Indy. They thought it was bad in the Stroud house. What are the most egregious missed calls in Houston sports history? Can involve any sport. What are the most egregious missed calls in Houston sports history? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. Mike Holly, U of H class of 1990. Go Cougars. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. They have great people at HRP. Chris Fisher's over there. He's fantastic. HRP, they're all fantastic. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll. They do it all at HRP. They're going to work with you, though, to customize a plan for whatever you need. If you're not reading off a menu, nothing's cookie cutter there. No, they're going to sit you down. They're going to talk with you. They're going to figure out where your areas of need are, and they're going to excel in those areas of need, which is going to allow your business to level up. HRP, they're great. Their customer service is fantastic. They're second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. Great teammate to have in your corner. They're always going to be in touch with you. They're going to be familiar with you, familiar with your company. You're not calling a call board or anything like that. No, it's going to be an intimate, fruitful relationship. And I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. HRP, quick to respond, very easy to understand. Let HRP take on those demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
Is that a different rejoin?
It is an edited down version because of the change to stations we promoted.
It sounded like Color didn't realize that he was done talking.
Cut off. The changes had to be made over the last few days.
Color did like the opposite of Ron Burgundy. Just like... stop mid-sentence there, Cutler did. But Cutler doesn't know ball. It's famous. Famously doesn't know ball. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. You can stream us everywhere. YouTube, Twitch, TikTok, Twitter, our website, our new app. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. You can find us everywhere. We're literally everywhere. Like this Friday, we're going to be at East River 9. The morning show, The Bench. Dell's not here this week. It's going to be Mapes and Brian. Which, Brian, you're going to go there and then come back here to produce?
No, I'll be in studio. Mapes will be out on site.
Okay, I got you. That makes more sense. And then Joe is going to talk soccer.
Just you, Joe.
He's going to talk football.
Not Joe.
Jose Jorge.
Jose Jorge.
Yes.
That's my bad. Jose Jorge. We're gonna get more Jose Jorge on the show.
Can't
too,
wait.
Coming up. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be
And I'm Mexica.
Yeah, Jose Jorge is. We all know that Jose Jorge, the man to my left,
yeah,
is Mexican. A few minutes a week.
That's me.
His Mexican alter ego, Jose Jorge.
And it's Tuesday.
And then Mark Berman and I, 3 to 6 at East River 9. He's filling in for Joe. And then also we're going to be out at Nick's Place, ESPN Houston Christmas Party from 7 to 1. John Lance and Dell from 7 to 10. Jeremy and Joe, that's me, that's him. From 10A to 1P, we'll have autographed footballs, baseballs, gift cards. I might autograph a baseball and put my career high school batting average on it. Gift cards, we're going to give away all this stuff during the eggnog chugging contest. It's going to devalue
and,
it.
And other games.
all the games we'll be playing too. We'll see you there at Nick's Place for the best party of the year, Monday, December 22nd. So get on out. Get on out there. We're going to have a great old time. All right. So Indy's upset about these calls. Mm-hmm. The referees were bad the second half. Like they were bad. They missed a bunch of calls. I think they missed the defensive pass interference on Bullock. I thought it was uncatchable. I thought they missed the pass interference that was committed on Xavier Hutchinson. I thought they missed the delay of game. There was a hands to the face on Quentin Nelson that, like, oh my goodness, how'd they get away with that? I mean, there was bad officiating in this game, second half. There's no way around it. So it made me think, Joe, what are the most egregious missed calls in Houston sports history? What stands out for you?
So I had one that came to mind immediately, but I wanted to watch the tape again.
Oh.
I wanted to see if
not
I
the
felt,
one I'm thinking of then.
I want to see if I felt the same way today as I did in 2018.
Okay.
The fan interference in game 4.
You don't need to watch that again, Joe. It was absolutely absolutely not fan interference.
I know.
Mookie Betts was three rows deep.
I know. That's why I wanted to watch it again. I want to make sure, like, what I thought then, I thought now, it's the wrong call.
And, absolutely.
And the Astros, Altuve ties the game there. I know, I think they might have taken a lead.
It was, I think it was like in the first inning, though.
It was 2-0.
It was very early. It might have been the first inning.
So it would have made it 2-2 in the first. And you just, you never know what happens from that point. Like, that could be the turning point for a series that they lost 4-1. So that was the first one. And really, like, that was the one that, to me, in my time in Houston, stood out the most.
I was so mad. I'm not one to really get mad at officials too much.
I think that's the call or the missed call that I've heard you get the most animated
about. Oh, it
made
me so mad because he missed it.
Yeah,
he missed
very
it.
Clearly.
And he thought he's like, oh, I know he's three rows deep, dude. Yes, the fan's entitled to his space. Once it's beyond the boundary, the fan can stay there with his hands up in the air like he's a big at the free throw line.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't have to get out of the way. You just can't go into the field of play to prevent a possible. It did not happen. That didn't happen. I still get triggered anytime I remember that call.
Yeah,
and that's the one that sticks out to me. That's and look, maybe it impacts the series, maybe it doesn't. It was very early in the series. I think that series was it 5?
So
the Astros lose that series in 5.
Yeah, they did. They won game 1 and then lost 4 in a row.
That was game 4.
And look, it might have, like, in, you know, Benintendi had that great catch. Was that in game 4 or game 5?
That ended it in game 5. That was the series ending catch.
So I mean, like, it was a close 5-game series, I guess, but it was a 5-game series. Like, I don't know if that was a series altering call. Very likely wasn't. A series-altering
call.
Probably
not.
But it was just so stinking bad. It's 3 rows deep.
Mm-hmm.
3 rows deep. Betts is in the crowd. And they called. It makes me so mad.
Yeah, it's a bad call. But I wanted to watch it again to think maybe we were too harsh in the moment.
No.
But rewatch it? No, not at all.
The other one that makes me mad and people don't agree with me on this one was the Yasmani Grandal. Whenever he took 5 steps onto the infield grass.
Oh, yeah.
Any time that you intentionally get hit by a thrown ball on purpose, it's interference.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, well, he's not in the runners. It doesn't matter. Runners lane interference is not impacted on that play. One, that's not a rule that you would enforce on a play coming to the plate. That's a play at first base. Secondly, it's irrelevant on that play.
Mm-hmm.
It's irrelevant. Who did it in the playoffs this year where they got in the way of a thrown ball? Wasn't it like a Dodger who like jumped in the way?
I think so.
There was something in the playoffs this year where a dude running to second base jumped up and got hit by the baseball.
Yeah.
How was that any different than Grandal?
It's not. Now, that one, because
that one triggers me. And that's the one where people don't support my argument.
But I think you're right on that one.
I know I'm right.
And no, that obviously the Astros won that series.
It's umpire discretion.
Yeah.
Umpire can decide, did that player do it on purpose? If you, in your discretion, think that the player did it on purpose, then you can call him out for interference. Do you think Yasmani Grandal intentionally got in the way of that throw from Yuli Gurriel?
Yes.
I rest my case.
Yes, he did.
What else you got?
That was the only ones that really stood out to me.
Yeah. We have a few from the junkies. We'll get to on the other side. I wanted to hit us first. You have any that jumped to your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most famous one, and it was before all of our times, but it's the Mike Renfro catch in the 70s. I mean, I still think, from what I know, the game, again, wasn't alive. None
did
of us were.
Did you watch it?
No. I mean, I've watched
the highlights. Take what you say very seriously.
I mean, I've watched the highlights. I thought you meant, do I watch it live? No.
I didn't mean live.
Okay.
I tried to watch this game the other night, actually.
Not in full. I've watched the highlight of the play, but I think what gets lost, because people, I hear all the old heads say, well, they would have gone to the Super Bowl if not for that play. It would have tied the game, and they ended up losing by like 10 or something like that. It wasn't the last play of the game. Anyway, I think it's a little overblown, but it was a horrible call. The other two that come to mind are John Stockton.
Can I tell you real quick on the Renfro play?
Okay.
I've tried to – I've told myself many times, self, let's go back and watch that game. That way you can just have an understanding of the game, flow, all that. I tried to do this last week. I had some time on my hands. I was we had nothing else to watch. I think I was actually home alone. I had nothing to watch. I was like, I'm going to turn on the 1979 AFC Championship game. I fell asleep in the third possession.
Boring football.
One of the you know the storylines though. OJ Simpson was on the pregame, by the way. One of the storylines.
What's he up to?
During the game, he was just reporting from the field. One of the end zones was frozen. At Three River Stadium, by the way, just in case you wanted to know.
Like Patrick Ewing's draft card?
Dan Pastorini started that game after getting injured the week prior, and Dan Gifford saved the day. So they went to Pastorini. Terry Bradshaw was the quarterback for the opposite side.
Yep.
Earl Campbell, the man for the Oilers. But I fell asleep in the third possession. So I'm still going to watch it. I'm trying. I'm going to get there eventually.
A few weeks.
I'm on the third possession of the game.
The video of this is incredible.
Yeah, I started watching the other day.
Just because there's these two cars.
Yes.
In the back of the end zone.
I almost screen grabbed that. It was like, what the heck?
I'm looking at this right now. Like, there's just, it looks like a Bronco. Like a truck. Yep. Yeah. And then just another car.
Maybe it was OJ's.
They're like 15. That's a blue Bronco. And then, they're like 15 yards from the end zone. Yeah. It's strange.
That was the first thing I noticed in that game.
Is it a sponsorship deal?
Maybe.
Maybe, but they're just right there.
Yeah, it was so weird. I noticed that too. I was what in the world?
Yeah, you see this car in the perfect shots. Both of his feet do get down clearly also.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a terrible call. People make it out like it absolutely was the only thing that cost them the game. It's no, it would have tied the game. They still lost by more than a touchdown.
The other one you had was the other screen?
It was the John Stockton shot in 97. Carl Malone absolutely mugs Clyde Drexler to get Stockton open for the shot. And then last, quickly, also Rockets. If you remember Game 5, I think it was the 2005 series against the Mavericks, where Michael Finley was 1 foot completely out of bounds, grabbed it, passed it back in, Mavs score to win that game, and refs completely missed Michael Finley standing out of bounds.
That was the series that went 7?
And the Rockets lost by 40 in Game 7, yeah. Obviously, they wouldn't have had to go on to Game 7 if they got that call right.
Yeah, you know what's something that annoys me? When people say quickly, but they say the word quickly. Why don't you just do it quickly?
I know, I do that all the time. I know.
It actually takes longer.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm going to do this, but I'm going to announce I'm doing it quickly. That way it can take me longer to do something that I desire to
How
do quickly.
How much does the word quickly add on to the sentence?
About half a second.
Yeah. I think that's
but if your desire is to go quicker, it's counterproductive.
You know what's longer than that?
It's counterproductive.
You know what's longer than that? This rant.
Yeah, but I didn't say quickly. I'm totally fine having this argument. All right, 713-780-3776. What are the worst, most egregious missed calls in Houston sports history? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.